lucky. My mother looks for signs on the morning of my departure. Everything means something else, she assures me when I topple a juice glass, calling it good fortune when crystal shatters. When I lose the coral earrings she gave me, she blesses heaven. Better that than your life. So when she hears the flight's been delayed, burnt fuse, she's exultant, convinced the gods have foiled some evil design on my safety. It delights her when I call her from the gate to say I've spilled coffee on my favorite sweater, and yes, the weather in Denver is fine. Mother of contradictions, believer in science and angels, for you I'd stoop for the wayward pin, avoid each sidewalk crack, comb a field of wild clover to find you a balm for letting go. Waiting for my father at the university hospital lab. On his desk, coiled against a fragment of uterine wall, the fetus floated in a mason jar, pale thumb raised to its voiceless straw of neck. Shaken from mothballed sleep, my father's lab coat, starched, pressed, lily white, sloped across his shoulders behind the underwood. A blank sheet waited for letters to pound through carbon, malignant, benign, malignant, malignant, benign. Pipette thin, barely nine, I crossed the doorway. No sound but the shuffle of patent shoes on tile. Clicking against the microscope, his ice cube lenses magnified that other universe. Berry-stained cells congealed into rocks, ringlets, ferns unfurled, moon craters. Curled amid books and paper, I became infinitesimal, a tight fist of fire and constellations, no larger than a dust mote on the camera lens he polished with a scrap of chamois before peering into the deep rivers of a mouth, of a heart pinned open. So Tom Slay's wonderful lecture on Seamus Heaney last week brought to mind something I heard Heaney say at a reading in the Bay Area several years ago. He said, and I'm paraphrasing badly, of course, in poetry, small things can bear the weight of anything. This is soap. Years later, my father would tell her that while she was away visiting family overseas, the slowly shrinking soap became a sacrament of his loneliness, and how, when he bathed on the eve of my mother's return, the bar had thinned to a petal on the lip of the tub. At Treeman the other day, Alan Brian Voigt kindly shared with me that drinking water is one of her power moves, so we'll do that right now. You should try it. The subject of this next poem is an edible wild berry in the Philippines called Aratiles. Aratiles. Little red moons, fragrant marbles pocketed, softening against my skin. In the sharp grass behind grandmother's house, neighbor boys waited to grab the rubies from my skirt. Thrives in poor soil, not to be found in markets. Children thieve the berries from low-growing trees in backyards or sidewalks. Leave nothing to the birds. In English, Jamaican cherry, Panama berry. In Malaysian, Seri Kampung, meaning village cherry. In Spanish, Kakaniqua, Bolaina Yamanaza, Niguito, Memizo, Capulin. How names mean nothing until you've rolled them on your tongue, burst the juicy pulp against your palate. Once in Mexico, I glimpsed a basketful from the window of a taxi. Aratiles. You can't say it without hearing rain on the roof of your mouth, rain rattling the panes of an empty house. On a boardwalk, a whiff of cotton candy on salt air brings back the grit of 100 yellow seeds.